It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The communication from the United States to the people of the South China Sea and their oppressors. The United States reaffirms that Article 4 of the 1951 U.S.-Philippine Mutual Defense Treaty extends to armed attacks on Philippine armed forces, public vessels or aircraft, including those of its Coast Guard, anywhere in the South China Sea. This is a statement by the U.S. State Department, very, very carefully arranged to make sure that Beijing reads it in all languages. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is my colleague and co-host, and this is a very grave matter. We welcome James Fennell, co-author of Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. He's a government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain intelligence, serving in the Indo-Pacific. Jim, your book very carefully outlines the scenario we're now watching, the deliberate provocation again and again of the Philippine military, this time a deliberate collision by what we can presume is a PLA warship, no matter how it's disguised. You said this was happening. What's the next chapter, Jim? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John and Gordon. Well, what happened on Monday is a severe escalation, because this time you've got ships that are, you know, of some substance that are colliding into each other and putting holes into each other and ramming. And this time the Filipinos, again, seem to be ahead of the ball in terms of they had Western media on board, so they were able to tape some of this and to get the story out. But the Chinese essentially were trying to disrupt the Filipinos, who were trying to resupply two outposts that they have north of Second Thomas Shoal, about 10.5 kilometers, 6 miles north of Second Thomas Shoal at Flat Island and Nanshan Island, which are collectively called the Spratly Islands. And the Filipinos have outposts there. And so they sent up these two very small, 300-ton Coast Guard vessels to help resupply their outposts there. And the Chinese have a couple of other Coast Guard vessels in the region, in the area, in that whole area of Sabina Shoal, Second Thomas Shoal, all in these Spratly Islands, and they proceeded to disrupt the resupply. So what we see is China has now said, we're not going to let you resupply Second Thomas Shoal without our approval. We're interrupting any activities that you take at Sabina Shoal. We've seen this over the last month or two. And now they're extending it to anywhere inside the nine-dash line that the Republic of the Philippines has outposts. The PRC is essentially saying, we will not allow you to move and resupply without getting roughed up. And we want you to abide by this alleged agreement that we heard about 2+ weeks ago, where allegedly the Filipinos and the Chinese said, we'll agree that you Filipinos will notify us before you try to resupply anything in our Chinese territory. It's an affront to the sovereignty of the Philippines. The Philippines can't stop resupplying their people. They have to have food and water. So it's a direct violation of the Declaration of Code of Conduct that came out in 2002. They are not supposed to be doing this, but they're obviously doing it. And it's an escalation. And they're trying to essentially hermetically seal the nine-dash line from any Filipino activity without the express approval of the Chinese Communist Party and the government.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, over time, China has maritime provocations against the Japanese in the East China Sea, around Taiwan, Taiwan Strait, and in the South China Sea against various countries, especially Philippines these days. The question is, everyone talks about Taiwan, but it does appear that China has refocused its activities away from Taiwan and towards the South China Sea, specifically the Philippines, at those places you mentioned, Sabina Shoal, Second Thomas Shoal, Whitsun Reef, Scarborough Shoal. Is this a fundamental change in China's posture, or is this just a temporary this is August type of thing, and that they will on September go someplace else?
No, Gordon, I think what I would characterize is it is an expansion of their agenda, their what I call their maritime sovereignty campaign. And so they've been working on this maritime sovereignty campaign for 20 years or more, but 20 years for sure, at least in the development and building of the vessels necessary to be able to enact these kinds of take these kinds of actions that they've done over the last 4 or 5 months here in the South China Sea, while concurrently increasing and ramping up their naval patrols around Taiwan. And as you mentioned, continue to actually spike a little bit in the East China Sea, less obvious or less intense. The tempo is less intense against the Senkakus in the East China Sea. But it seems to be that the Philippines are their real focus right now from a political standpoint, which is to say, we are going to break you and we're going to make you kowtow to our control of these waters while continuing to pressurize Taiwan.
The State Department mentioning of the Mutual Defense Pact, what does that translate into? What would it look like, Jim, if we activate naval units? What can be done to not to protect the Philippines, but to back China off?
Well, I've been saying for months now that we should have, instead of these statements are fine, but they're meaningless if they're not backed up with some kind of action. And so what the real crux of the Chinese agenda is to be able to disrupt the Philippine government's ability to resupply their outposts, where men are sitting on outposts on these remote reefs and shoals, or on the Sierra Madre in the case of Second Thomas Shoal, and to not allow them to bring food and water. So we should be able to step in and say, I can help you, Philippines, bring food and water. I can send in an armada of ships from the U.S. 7th Fleet. The Chinese will not attack us and bother us, and we can get your supplies from our ships to those locations through vertical replenishment or vert rep with helicopters from our ships that do this on a routine basis. And if we wanted to go one step further, we could send in an expeditionary strike group, or we could send in one of our expeditionary support bases. We have these ships, about 7 or 8 of these ESB ships. There's one down in Sydney Harbor today while we're talking, that has the ability to do this kind of work, where you come in and you can set up and have pour concrete, you know, build up an area so that the Sierra Madre would not fall apart and to dissolve because it's a rusted out World War II ship. They could build a platform there to allow more permanent presence. We could do that and challenge the Chinese to say, do you really want to start World War III by attacking America? But we're not inclined to do that. We're inclined to say we don't want to provoke China. So we will do everything out of our we seem to be just beholden to this idea we cannot provoke China. And we tell China that. We go out and our diplomats say, we don't want to provoke you. So China says, great, then we'll keep pressing until you guys give it all up. Instead, we should be standing up and saying, we can do this, and we doubt that China will take an action. They will not risk World War III. We should be saying that to them. So in addition to saying we're enacting or will enact Article 4 of the Mutual Defense Treaty from 1951, we need to put some specific meat on that. This is what we will do. And we shouldn't even have to actually say it. We should have already done this months ago, or if not a decade ago, when they started this harassment in 2014 in earnest.
Gordon, you have a question. We have a couple of minutes.
Why don't we do that, Jim?
We don't, because we're afraid. We have an administration, and it's not just this administration. The Obama administration was the same. And to be honest, even the Trump administration, it was still full of the system, the people in the State Department and the Pentagon that are consumed with this idea that if we do or say anything that confronts the PRC, we'll risk nuclear war. And so we're afraid of that, and it inhibits us from taking action. And we could take action to do humanitarian assistance to the Republic of the Philippines and challenge the Chinese to say they're going to start World War III with us. They won't do that. They're not ready for World War III. They're not ready to invade Taiwan this second. And so we need to move now to cauterize this. But the longer that we don't, the harder it gets, because they get more assets in the theater, more assets in the region.
Jim, finally, a collision at sea, I've not been in such a thing, but I've read about it, and it's extremely perilous for all involved, correct? The Chinese captain was taking an enormous risk with his own people and with the people of the Philippines.
Well, the Chinese ships, from what I've read, probably had a reinforced hulls, and they had some kind of special probe or something that would have helped them, assist them to be able to be the aggressor. So it was clear that the Chinese were the aggressor.
Right.
You can see the images in the 1 meter hole in the side of the Filipino Coast Guard vessel. The Coast Guard vessel from the Filipinos was, again, just 320 tons, very small, 150 foot long vessel. So not a big big Coast Guard vessel, only 150 feet long. The Chinese ship was anywhere from 2 to 3 times the size, so 1,000 to 1,500 tons, and probably 200 to 300 feet long, maybe 200 feet long, 250, and it rammed it. It was during the day, and it was jarring. It could have put out, could have killed somebody, or it could have put the ship out of commission. I don't think it was going to sink it because the hole was above the waterline. But if it had gone into heavy sea states or bad weather, that would have made it much more difficult for the Filipinos.
Jim Fennell, Gordon Chang, I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No